This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Now, for the guest that we've been waiting for, I told you earlier on that we are going to be hosting Onesimo Sicwecha, and she is the owner of a fashion styling brand which is called Simo, lifestyle brand, and she is a Cape born and bred, so therefore she is our own here in Cape Town. She is a lady that is hard working with a lot of drive. She currently resides in Johannesburg and has started this amazing brand, and because it is Women's Month, we thought, you know what, let's have a conversation with her. Let's find out how she does it, so that she can inspire other women out there to do it as well. You know, it might be something similar, it might be something different, but really to just get up and start working and do something. And so Onesimo is here to speak to us about her story, her authentic story. Onesimo, how are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Tula. Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to your listeners. I am very well, thank you, this afternoon. A bit excited, but a bit nervous as well. You know, just getting a flare of this thing. Mm. But otherwise, we are good. Thank you.
Fantastic. No need to be nervous. We're really just having a conversation about who you are and what you've done. You know, you have an incredible brand that a lot of people want to know about, and so this is an opportunity for you to tell us about your brand. So what inspired you to establish a Simo lifestyle brand?
Thanks a lot, Tutula. So, you know, in terms of establishing the brand, Onesimo, as a person, you know, has always been fashion conscious. So from a very tender age, you know, I would typically mix and match clothing effortlessly. You know, and this love for fashion grew, you know, it grew within me, and effortlessly I would get recognition, you know, in and around my spaces, whether it was at work, whether it was within, you know, my circles of friends. But you know, there was this constant recognition. You know, it became clear to me that, you know what, there was a need for this kind of business, because often I would be approached by a friend here and there to say, hey, Tommy, you know, I'm going to a wedding, or I'm going to a date, you know, and I've got no clue what to wear. So I would typically get these requests, and you know, I was inundated even by my colleagues at work in some of the places I've worked. You know, one would often get asked, people, we just have been repeating, we need to get this, we need to get that. So, you know, one could actually just sum up and say, the establishment of Simo has been that, you know, effortless event. You know, I go to a birthday, for example, I'd go to a braai, and in that braai, you have, you know, people who are questioning about maybe, you know, a plain jacket that I've put together with, you know, a pair of sneakers or a skirt or my mom's old dress, and people will be like, oh, it's a see the thing. And I do not, Tutula, in some instances, I would leave an event without the item that I was wearing. So it got to a point where I'm being stripped off my clothing, and I thought to myself, you know, this is a potential business opportunity then for me, because not only were the people around me stripping me, but they were also willing to buy these pieces of clothing, you know, and they were also interested in the fact that they were unique pieces of clothing. So that's really what, you know, gave birth to Simo as a brand. And, you know, in terms of the name itself, Simo is actually a short version of my birth name, Onesimo. So my name, my full name is actually Onesimo, and Simo is then short of that.
Yes.
So, yeah, in a nutshell, that's who we are.
I love it. I love how it's happened effortlessly, and you know, there's a bit of a comical thing in it as well, where you get stripped off your clothing when you've gone to an event or a party. Really just goes to show that you know, you were simply just doing, you know, what was normal to you, and everyone found it remarkable and incredible. And so when we look at your business concept, Seymour, the business concept, I have an understanding that, you know, there's also a job creation element or model within the business concept. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Certainly, Sula. So Seymour, so the business concept is three-way, right? We sell directly to the market. So we sell directly to, for example, a tutula who's looking for a clothing item, whether it's a dress, whether it's, you know, it's a blouse, whether it's a blazer. So we sell directly from Seymour to the client. And then the second leg of the business model and the business concept is that we've also got sales partners. So we've partnered with salespeople. And these people are representing the brand all round. So they're representatives of the brand, but importantly, they earn commission. So that's the second leg of the brand. And then the third leg is that we've also partnered with independent distributors, and we sell items in bulk to this group of people. So, you know, so as I said, it's the three legged business concept: direct to the clients via the sales representatives, as well as then via the independent distributors. Mm. And worth noting, Tula, is the fact that all the people that we work with at the moment, they are all women. Mm. You know, and it's young women. It's people who are unemployed, you know, and it's people who have been affected by, you know, the horrible COVID-19, which has left quite a lot of people unemployed. And it's also worth noting that it's a very small scale. It's not a lot of people that we're working with, but that's really what the model and the concept looks like at the moment. Direct to the client via sales partners, as well as through independent distributors.
Mm, fantastic. Female owned as well as female run business. My family out there, we're speaking to the owner, Onesimo Sikwecha, who is the founder of Seymour Lifestyle Brand. If you perhaps have any questions for her, you can send them through on 0817291657. That is the WhatsApp line. And so, Onesimo, you also attribute to some of your business success so far and just the business drive that you have to having the privilege to be raised within an entrepreneurial family where you saw, you know, your grandmother doing the selling and the buying and so on and so forth, and being part of that journey has equipped you pretty much to where you are now. So can you perhaps tell us about those experiences when you were growing up and seeing, you know, the adults around you being entrepreneurial?
Thanks once more, Tula. So, entrepreneurship is true to my being, true and true. You know, growing up between the dusty streets of Cape Town, Khayelitsha, as well as the Eastern Cape, you know, I was always exposed to my family's entrepreneurial ventures, or side hustles, as we call them today. You know, If I think back, if I look back, my grandmother, may her gorgeous soul rest in peace, she was incredibly rooted to entrepreneurial values. You know, this woman would typically, she was very much an agricultural person. Mm. So, you know, she would sell seasonal fresh produce, and this she sold to the community within which she lived, and that was Udandane in the Eastern Cape. So by virtue of being her grandchildren, when we went home for school holidays, we had no choice. You know, we would typically be abantu who would help Makulu package her goods, make them available for the community that would from time to time come and buy the fresh produce. So ungacho, you could pretty much say, you know, one wayinana ebeleni, this thing back to my ancestors, and that was from a you know, an agricultural perspective. And then when it came to my dad, this is now when we were growing up in Khayelitsha, udada used to you know, as an additional income supplement, and as a result of his experience with him, the cold storage kind of setup as a professional, he then you know, started selling meat. And this meat, by virtue of being his children, we were involved within the business, because it was a family business. And between my sisters and I, we would accompany that, you know, going to deliver the goods to clients. And so we got exposure there from an entrepreneurial perspective. You know, we, between my sister and I, Mrs. Sanda was always the one who, you know, who carried the money bag. And, you know, there were instances where the meat was, you know, people wanted the meat, but however, they didn't have tangible cash. So we would literally, you know, afford them the opportunity of getting them, buying the meat now and paying for it month end or whenever they got the money. So what would sometimes happen is that, you know, we'd go then and collect, because we had a black book. We'd go and collect. And sometimes, you know, the appointments were not on it. You know, you'd typically get to a client's house, and as soon as we arrive, you'd hear utter silence, even though there was noise between, you know, us entering the gate. You'd hear utter silence, and sometimes you'd get dogs, you know, unleashed on us. And that was, you know, those were some of the unpleasant experiences, but, you know, it taught us quite a lot about entrepreneurship and the fact that, you know, sometimes you're going to get these hurdles, you know, in terms of bad debt and so on. You know, fast forward towards our high school life, later on in high school, my mom taught us, She's always been a creative person. So my mom taught us the skill of making keyrings. We literally made keyrings using recycled material. Mm. So my sisters and I, together with my cousins, would come to Ekaya for school holidays. We would literally spend our time making these keyrings, and we actually sold them. So there was quite a market for it because they were made out of natural products, and it was recycled material. So once more, you know, that entrepreneurial intuition was, you know, it was sparked the creativity, and you could literally see and yield the profit, you know. And we sold these things I remember going to school, and some of my teachers would actually buy these because they were unique, you know, and they were handmade, which really was an attraction to them. So all these experiences, Tutula, one could, you know, end up saying, you know, they've actually molded me, you know, they've helped me understand the value of hard work, mm-hmm. they've helped me understand the beauty of family, you know, businesses and helping people realize their dreams. Mm. So yeah.
Incredible, you know, really, the way you've put it is amazing, you know, just that story of having started at a very young age and being part of the family and seeing, and sort of now when you're older, you know, and in fact, while you were still younger, mimicking what's being done and being given the opportunity to do so. I think that's a lesson to many parents out there, that, you know, give your children the opportunity to be part of what you do, especially on an entrepreneurial entrepreneurial level, you know, give them a task, you know, like the way you guys did key rings. That was, you know, part of you being groomed for something bigger later on in life. And so when we look at COVID-19, you mentioned it earlier on that because of COVID-19, many businesses have been hit hard by this. I want to know, how has your business coped, and how do you continue thriving in the midst of COVID-19 pandemic and all the setbacks that this pandemic comes with?
Sure. When one thinks about, you know, COVID-19 and just the negative effects that it's imparting on everyone, I cannot help but be grateful. You know, I cannot help but be grateful to God. You know, the one thing that's really kept us going is our faith. Our faith in God has really been that cornerstone. You know, God has been good to us. We could not have survived without His grace. You know, both my husband and I were very negatively affected. We got very sick, you know, from COVID-19, and the business hurt tremendously, you know, during that period. But what really kept us going, Tutula, was really the faith and keeping true to the vision. What also really helped us was the history as well as the maintenance of the great relationships that we had with, you know, our clients as well as our suppliers. So, you know, we kept them engaged. We kept them, you know, on the loop on all developments, you know, whether it was the fact that we were ill or whether it was the fact that, you know, we were experiencing lots of challenges in terms of the availability of stock. You know, I recall during hard lockdown, nobody could move. We literally had to, you know, rethink about what are we going to do. You know, we had to rethink about how are we going to keep the business going. You know, taking into account all the logistical nightmares at the time. You know, so it wasn't just the fact that you can't get access to the stock, but it was also the fact that with the stock that you've got, you know, you can't move the stock. So we were badly affected in that front, in that we had to share the stock sparingly, you know, within our clients because of the volumes that had dropped tremendously. But also, from a logistical perspective, the orders had been stuck in the house. You know, we couldn't process the stock, the orders due to lockdown. So all of those experiences, all of those were really, you know, some of the setbacks that have been attributed by COVID-19.
Mm. But yeah, you were able to rise above those and to continue. Your message of hope to other women who are out there and feeling lost and feeling as if, you know, everything, you know, is lost because of COVID-19. You know, there are many negatives that people are facing in their various, you know, homes and sectors. You know, there's job losses and so on and so forth. What's your last message to them?
My message to everybody who's listening and everybody who's faced with the same or similar challenges is for me simple. You know, God says He will not leave nor forsake us, you know, and those are His promises to us. And in all of this, throughout my ordeal, throughout the experiences with everything that is happening in and around us, but God is still God. You know, we trust in Him. We trust in His faithfulness. And the one message I want to say, I want to leave with your listeners, is that they've got to trust in God with their businesses, you know, with their jobs, with their unemployment situations, with their lives, with their children, with their families, you know, with what we don't know. Trust in God. And for me, that's really kept me going. See, one other thing that has been vital and that I would like to share is I have developed gratitude. You know, the test with COVID has really reignited a sense of gratitude within me. So I want to say to your listeners that let us be grateful. You know, be grateful for your health. Be grateful for your health. Take good care of it and follow the science. You know, we don't know what we don't know about COVID-19. But let's try to follow the science, you know. And by that I mean, if it is said that sanitizing works, you know, let's try by all means to, you know, to sanitize, wash our hands frequently, wear the face mask, and, you know, do what you need to do to preserve and to take care of your health. And last but not least, Tula, learn new skills. Learn new skills, especially the skill of being agile. You've got to attempt to be adaptable. You've got to be flexible as a human being, taking into account that, you know, there's quite a lot of things that we've got control of as individuals, as human beings, but there's also quite a lot of things that we have absolutely no control over. And one of those things is the pandemic. You know, we've got no control over the pandemic, what it's done, what it has done, what it continues to do, and what it's potentially going to do in the future. But let us try to be adaptable. Let's try to be agile. Learn new skills. You know, try and add, find out different streams of earning income. That way, you know, when such things, when you're faced with such challenges, you can, I think, juggle, you know, as much as things are not going to be the same, but at least you are going to have a sense of and hope, you know, and not necessarily give up on yourself and your children or whatever it is that is dependent on you. And yeah, keep going, keep trying, you know, keep reinventing yourself, find new ways of reinventing yourself, your goals, and last but not least, you know, I want to reiterate the beacon of hope. It's not all lost. You know, the fact that we are still alive is a great and a golden opportunity for us to, you know, to be able to reconnect, to rebuild and to refine ourselves.
I love that a lot, you know, recreate yourself, rebrand, do whatever it needs to be done in order for you to continue. And agility is definitely something that we all need to be comfortable with as we journey forward. Onesimo, how can people reach you when it comes to Simo Lifestyle Brand? You know, just to share your handles, whether on Facebook, Instagram, and so on and so forth.
Thank you once more, Kishila. So we are available on WhatsApp or via telephone, and the number is 079-510-8462. The number is 079-510-8462. And we are available on Facebook. The name of the page is CEMO, spelled C-E-E-M-O. So that is capital C. CEMO. And then our Instagram handle is CEMO_lifestyle. So that is spelled CEMO, which is CEMO underscore lifestyle, spelled LIFESTYLE. And our website is currently under construction. And the website address is www.cemo.co.za. The website is www.cemo.co.za. Thank you.
Incredible story of a young woman telling her story authentically, talking about entrepreneurship, talking about all things COVID-19, how her business remained thriving through it all, and really just giving us hope and encouragement to continue going forward. Onesimo, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and we wish you nothing but God's grace over your business, and may you continue doing God's work pretty much and serving people in your own unique way, and may God open doors and may He extend your territory and provide all the resources that you need. Thank you so much.
Amen, Susie. Thank you so much. I receive the blessings of Abraham. Have an awesome day to you and your listeners, and thank you once more.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, family, that being Onesimo, a woman that is ready to take over the world through her brand, Simo Lifestyle Brand. Please go check it out. She's given you all the handles, and become part of something different and unique, and something that will actually impact someone's life, because she also has the model of job creation within her business. So please do it. We're going to go straight to Mr. Grant Nuss right now, so please stay with us for that. We've got about 10 minutes to go until the top of the hour.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.